going to find out from Grace Fox, who gave birth to a critically ill baby girl while living in Nepal. Her husband brought their daughter back to the States for medical care, but Grace had to remain behind for a week, not knowing whether she'd see her newborn again or what her quality of life would be if she survived. In the midst of a perfect storm, Grace learned the connection between understanding who God is and trusting Him with her loved one's well-being. Grace's mission is about teaching God's word in a relevant way so we can connect the dots between faith and real life. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm your host, Tina Griffin. This week, the theme is on encouragement, and man, do we need it. We're going to get it from founder of Grace Fox Ministries, Grace Fox. Grace, thank you for jumping in on the program today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I can't wait. You are the first guest on the history of the Counterculture Mom Show coming from a boat. You live on a sailboat?
I do. It's a 48-foot sailboat, and we live on the Fraser River near Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how long would it take if after this recording, I jumped on a flight and came to hang out with you for a week up there?
Well, we'd love to have you. Just come on. Come on. We'll take you out. Yeah.
See, you think I'm joking, but you know, if you watch any previous episodes, I actually take people up on their offer. So I might see you in a couple days. We'll find out here. That would be so fun. I always thought it'd be fun to like live on a boat, even if we rented the boat for like a year or two just to check it out. But I mean, you're really living on the edge, and I think that's amazing. So thank you for jumping on while you're sailing here today. You are the author of many books. First of all, do you write a lot of these books while sailing?
Most of the time we are actually tied at the dock because my husband is a mission director and still working full time. And so we get away from the dock maybe 3 times a year. But if we can do, last year we went away for 3 weeks. So one of our times was 3 weeks away. And it was lovely because we can get Wi-Fi in most of those places. And so I do continue to write even as we go. Yeah, it's great. I know how many people can just take their office and go out into some beautiful, beautiful solitary cove and write from there. Not very many people can do that.
Not very many. And the other aspect besides the fact that you have an exciting lifestyle touring the world is the fact that no one can find you. I mean, I would like that. With some of these topics we're pumping out here on the program, like that would be great to like hide out in some cave. But then again, I couldn't have, you know, a tech gadget that'll track me down. But moving on, that's not the series this week. We're talking about encouragement. So you've written a bunch of books, including your daily Bible verse, as well as a podcast host. You're a member of the First Five writing team with P31 Ministries, a Bible teacher, a career missionary with International Messengers Canada. You got to explain all that. But I want to find out from you, you experienced a very scary situation when your second child was born. Tell us about that. What insights did you learn about trusting God with your baby's well-being? What happened?
Right. So my husband and I were married only 5 months when we moved to Kathmandu, Nepal. He had already been accepted to work for 3 years as a civil engineer on a hydroelectric power project with a nonprofit organization when I came into his life. And so we ended up marrying and going together. And we had 2 children while we were there. We have 3 altogether, but our son was born and everything was okay, relatively speaking. I mean, for me, it was so different as a mom from North America, having a baby and then being in a hut that was made of mud and rock with a grass thatch roof with no electricity, no running water, no indoor plumbing. But when I was 6 months pregnant with our second child, we were transferred to a mission hospital project. So when Stephanie was born, 3 months later, she was born with a condition called hydrocephalus, which is too much water on the brain. And the doctors there just took one look at her and said, we can't help her here. She needs a shunt in her head to drain that excess cerebral fluid off her brain into her abdominal cavity, and we don't have what it takes. And then they said, we think that there are other things going on too in her body, like maybe a heart condition, but we don't have the means here to figure that out. So you need to be on the first available flight back to North America. And that was in the 80s. So there are several flights like that every week now coming out of Kathmandu, going back to North America. But back then it was like 2 a week. And so she was born on a Tuesday. And on the Wednesday, my husband tried to get a ticket to go back. And the airline just said, your wife has had a C-section to deliver this baby, because he kind of gave them the details. And they said, we don't want her on the plane because she's considered a medical high risk. And we don't want a baby less than 2 weeks old on the plane either. It's just too risky.
Okay, but wait, but But if you waited, sorry to interject, but if you waited 2 weeks, would your daughter even make it that long?
No, and that was probably what was going to happen, and we knew that. So my husband just said, no, he just said to me, I'm going to take her home. And so Thursday, we had a 12-hour Land Rover ride to get to Kathmandu. So there I was on morphine, laying on my back on the floor of this Land Rover, getting into Kathmandu on these very bumpy roads. And then on Friday, my husband took the baby, and there were so many other details involved, like just even the day she was born, doctors put a needle into the fontanelle of her head and withdrew about 40 cc's of fluid just to reduce pressure on her brain. And they did it again on Friday morning before putting her on the plane. But my husband just wrapped her in a blanket. Another no new mom and I expressed breast milk into one of those Playtex nursing bottles that she happened to have. And that's what we sent my husband with, was this one bottle of breast milk. And so he threw a diaper bag over his shoulder, and I nursed my baby one more time, and I kissed her, and we prayed together, and then I said goodbye. And
I can't even imagine that. I mean, for overall, my pregnancies were fine, even though I was scared with some situations. I did them the natural deal. Two of them I delivered at home. So you have that little worry that pales in comparison to what you just told me, because, and I'm not, in the medical profession, so kind of explain this to me. Your daughter already was born with a lot of pressure on the brain. The doctor relieved some pressure by taking fluid out on that Tuesday and that Friday. And I can't even imagine with the pressure on her brain, you're now going 30,000 feet up in the air on a plane.
Yeah, and I can't even begin to
Unbelievable.
address that either, but I know that my husband had to set down in Hong Kong, I think is where he had to spend the night. And by then, she had finished off that bottle of breast milk. And he's thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? So he tells a story of putting her on the bed in the hotel room and putting pillows around her. Like she was not going anywhere, but he was not going to be deterred. He was not going to take any chances. So he put pillows around her, and he went running out on the street just saying, God, you got to help me find milk. And he found a 7-Eleven store there where he was. He went in and just held out some change for the gal at the till to take what she needed to pay for a little carton of cow's milk. And then he went back. And the doctor, before we left, had given him a syringe because the doctor said she will eventually stop sucking. She's so sick, she will stop sucking. So you'll feed her with this syringe. So that's what my husband did, was fed her this cow's milk with a syringe. And then he had to complete the trip the next day. And he flew to Seattle, and then Stephanie had a bed waiting for her in Tacoma at the Tacoma Children's Hospital.
That is just
and
unbelievable. I don't even know what to ask you next because I feel like I'm reliving your horrific situation. You two are both heroes. Your poor husband with a newborn flying around too. Typically, the guys are like, you know what you're doing. I'm going to leave you alone for the first couple months. Let you two figure this out with the nursing situation. I'll hold, maybe change a diaper. And here he was taking the whole deal on full force. Give us what went through your mind when you saw your daughter for the last time as your husband was running out the door with her wrapped in a baby blanket. How did you handle that? How did you lean on God? Did you lean on God? Were you mad at God? Take us through what was going on with you at that point.
Right. So there were a couple of things happening. One was that my mother-in-law had come to help, but my 20-month-old son didn't really know her because we'd been overseas for his whole life. And so he didn't want anything to do with grandma. And he laid there on my chest with his little arms wrapped around my neck, and he cried for his earthly daddy. Because he didn't understand what was going on. And he'd had a measles vaccination a few days prior, so now he was sore from that and feverish. So as I held him, he cried, and I cried too for my heavenly father, because I didn't feel angry. I didn't feel like, why me? The question that popped into my head though was, what are you trying to teach me through this? Because I'd gone through 2 years of very significant culture shock, times where I just felt like, I am not the spiritual missionary that I should be. I just want to go home. I just want to pack this in. This is way too hard. And then finally, I had come through to that place of accepting our circumstances and feeling more at home in the village. And then circumstances changed. And now we were going back to North America. Like, what was that? And so I just asked the Lord, what is it that you want me to learn through this? And into that moment, I just sensed him speak to me through the lyrics of the old hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." That's what came to my mind, was, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee." And I just thought, wow, he's not promising me that our daughter is going to live. And he's not making any guarantee of what her quality of life might look like if she lives. But he is promising me that no matter what happens, he will be faithful. And that's what I can hold on to.
Well, you're my hero because, you know, we all go through trials. And my husband and I are going through one right now, not as serious as yours, not that we should ever compare. But I have a hard time sometimes trusting God because I'm not a patient person. You know, I don't want to wait to do what I know God's calling me to do. But then again, I have to wait if what I need isn't here right now, if that makes sense.
It does.
You're my hero. Okay, so there's this verse, Matthew 6:34. It's coming to mind as you're sharing your story right now. It says, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and it states, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I remember my mom telling me that. I remember telling myself that. Right in the last couple of months, I forgot that that existed. So thank you for being a hero to me today and listening to this off as a reminder, because sometimes we can get in a rut and not trust God with the words that he has in Scripture. Okay, we're going to be right back to talk with Grace more about trusting God right after this.
The public education system is a burning building, but our children don't have to be trapped in the flames of anti-God, anti-American, and anti-freedom agendas. Rescue your children today. My Father's World can help. With a Bible-centered, complete curriculum for preschool through high school, My Father's World returns the focus to God, family, community, and patriotism. Join the nearly 250,000 families who have already escaped public education through homeschooling. My Father's World can also help you bring real education reform to your community with a micro school or Christian school. Visit mfwbooks.com/Fortina or scan the QR code for more information and get your special offer. That's mfwbooks.com/4Tina for homeschool, micro school, and preschool. My Father's World is your solution.
What if there was a safe, drug-free way to help your anxiety and stress levels? Well, now there is, with Restore Patch. It's great for anyone suffering from fear, anxiety, sleep issues, lack of energy, or even migraines. It's the latest in wearable technology, a simple, all-natural, chemical-free wearable patch. Risk-free with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I'm just less anxious, I'm happier, I'm calmer.
I've had both of these together all day, been focused, been great.
I decided to give these a try because I just wanted to give my body a break, but I wanted to do so without chemicals, without prescription medications, and this has been great.
I was skeptical, and I tried it, and I am beyond thrilled that I did.
I'm telling you, this is everything I've ever needed.
Anyone can benefit from Restore Patch. To help your body get back on track or keep it there, just go to restorepatch.com and use code Tina at checkout to get 10% off. Parents, have you checked out our Counterculture Mom app yet? You can get it at Google Play, iTunes Store, you name it. One-time fee of $4.99. It'll keep your sanity and keep you from losing any more hair. If you are a parent that feels overwhelmed when it comes to keeping up with the constantly changing technology and influence on your kids, this is the app for you. Download the Counterculture Mom app. Just because Hollywood dishes up sex, violence, pornography, and drug use in all facets of entertainment doesn't mean we have to allow it in our homes. Our goal is to put the power back in your hands to help you choose a safe media environment for your kids. Our app is not just loaded with the current problems in pop culture, but solutions on how you can address these different topics with your kids. It also has talking points, videos, you name it. In turn, your children will know how to make their own wise media choices and develop a healthy worldview as a result. So keep your hair and download the Counterculture Mom app now by going to Google Play, iTunes Store, or you can also visit our website, counterculturemom.com, and know how to safely navigate the pop culture chaos and what media you want to allow through your front door. Grace, we're back. Before we talk about where you're living now and what you're working on now, can you give us a life history here of your daughter? What's the latest on Stephanie?
Right. Well, she ended up having about a dozen surgeries in her first couple of years of life. She did have a heart defect. Doctors told her she would die by the time she was a month old from that defect. But at 2 months, it was gone. And they were just baffled by that. She had meningitis when she was 11 months old. She could have died from that. She had major brain surgery a week after she got out of the hospital from meningitis. It was a really tough, tough time. But she is now 37 years old. She still has the shunt in her head. She graduated from Bible college, met her husband there, and they live in Washington State. She is now a certified financial coach. And she calls herself, she just got this, this is great, the neurodivergent coach. And that's because she is on the autistic spectrum as well. But she has learned to embrace that as her strength. And I tell you, she's genius. She's genius as far as helping people get out of credit card debt.
How do we get a hold of her? Not that I'm in debt, but I know people watching this might want her help. How do we get a hold of her?
Yeah, her name is Stephanie Berman, and she is on Instagram. She's got a Facebook page as well, but it's Neurodivergent Coach. And so if I've given the wrong information on that, but people can email me, just contact me through the website, and I will forward them on to her. I can make that connection for them.
Well, that's fantastic. You know, I just want to say, history, counterculture, mom, praise the Lord, I've never been in debt, but at the same time, I'm ready to rock and roll moving forward. So maybe I can get some tips from her. Phenomenal story. You can obviously see I don't do a lot of research on my guests ahead of time because I want to experience your journeys with me for the first time. I don't want stuff rehearsed. I was afraid to ask that question, not knowing what was going to happen as a result with your answer, but praise the Lord, she's alive and she's on fire. That's awesome. Okay, to celebrate, let's talk about your boat journey. What's going on with you right now in this boat? You have a life I've always wanted to live and try, living on a boat. Where do you live again, and what are you currently working on? You're writing curriculum, you're writing books while your husband is doing his thing. Fill us in on the latest with you two.
Yeah, so we moved on to a boat 4.5 years ago. Actually, it was in 2018, end of February, and it wasn't a whim. My husband grew up on the water in Washington State. I grew up in Alberta. I'm a landlubber girl, so this is foreign for me. But we worked at a Christian camp for 11 years as well on a little island off the coast of BC, and my husband developed a sailing camp while we were there. It's still going. And so we actually left the camp in 2007, but it's still going. And so he's got this engineering background. He's got skills with boats and he loves the water. Like, the guy is really smart. Oh. And so this was a calling, though. It wasn't, hey, let's go live on a boat. It was more like, it was like a nudge from the Holy Spirit. And there was just no explanation for how all the details came together to bring us to this boat, to this exact spot where we are tied on this dock with these neighbors around us. And when we got here and started making ourselves at home, we realized that we are living in the middle of a people group that really need to know that Jesus loves them. And so the boat is the common denominator. And we have just enjoyed building relationships with people whose paths we would never otherwise cross. So we know we're here by design. And you know, people will say, you're living the dream. And I think, if only you knew. Wait till the river freezes in January. And wait, I have to live with my cupboard doors open because mildew is a problem here. It's so moist and damp. But I just have to make those changes and roll with it. And we are joyful here.
Roll with it, sail with it, something with it. That's phenomenal. I can see your benefit, depending on how big the boat is, where you have less to clean. There's a lot of times where I'm like, can we please pare down and get rid of stuff? You should see what we got right now listed to sell because I want less to clean. Let's get this house going. Who knows? Maybe God's getting us prepped to jump on a boat and do ministry with you.
Second, maybe an RV. Park the RV in the parking lot, and then we could do both. We could go out on water. We could go out on land.
All right. I'm starting to take some more notes here as you're talking. So my ideas are rolling right now. You got me rolling. The other thing that you reminded me of is this dear friend of mine who lives down in Louisiana. He told me about 15 years ago that God told him to get a boat. So he got a boat, got it all set up, went fishing out there, and he started to do ministry and witness to people. And do you know, he said that he'd grab people, you know, invite them, I don't want to say grab people, but he'd invite people to jump on his boat. They would hang out for the whole day, do fishing together. He would witness to them. And he said there were so many times where he felt the Lord nudging, do not go back to the dock yet. Lead him to the Lord. Don't go back to the dock yet. He goes, Tina, the dozens of people I was able to lead to the Lord, because I would grab them. They couldn't swim the 4 miles to get back to shore, and God got them. I'm like, oh, that's a killer idea. So maybe something for you guys to do, just kind of kidnap some people, go out to sea, witness to them, and then take them back when they're good to go with the Lord. Just a thought, you know, just a thought. But exciting times. Since this is encouragement, have you ever been in a scary situation on the water with the boat and you had to also trust God with a scenario like that?
Oh, Tina, we had an incident a couple summers ago where everything that could go wrong went wrong, and it all happened in one day. So we actually had 3 engine failures.
What?
And our dinghy that we had behind us, the boat was rocking up and back so hard that the dinghy came underneath it. And then it was punctured. So the bottom of the little ladder at the back punctured the dinghy, and our safety kit and the oars floated away. And the dinghy started to sink because there's an engine on the back of it. There's a motor there, right? So my husband had to come back and pull that thing around. He managed to put it up. So it looked like a shark hanging from, like as if we'd been deep sea fishing or something.
Oh,
and now we had this big thing
hanging
from the mast. But we ended up coming down the river on our way back home after dark, and we knew we couldn't get all the way. It's about an hour and a half up the river, and we couldn't safely do that after dark. So we put in at a public marina, and the motor died again just as we were coming into the dock. So then we drifted in towards shore against a bunch of old pilings, and wouldn't you know it, we had had a special radar turned on our boat. The previous owner came from the States, and so apparently it was still registered in the States. And because we turned that on, and this was during the pandemic, Coast Guard went out looking, because we showed up on their radar as an American boat in Canadian waters during the pandemic, which was highly illegal. And so when we floated into shore, 4 border guards were waiting for us there. They had tracked us all day. And then they came on board, 2 went on board, checked for our, you know, for contraband, and checked our passports. And the other 2 said, because this has happened during the pandemic, now you have to isolate. We're going to check on you. And if you don't isolate for what, 2 weeks or whatever, you face a possible 6-month jail term or $750,000 fine. I tell you, it was an adventure like you would not believe. I finally just said, can I just tell you what my day has looked like, please? And so they listened. And the guy just finally, he said, okay, we're just glad you're okay. I'm sorry you've had such a bad day.
Oh, my word.
Those opportunities, those hard things, those are the opportunities to learn to trust. When life goes easy all the time, we can get fat and happy and complacent in our faith. Right. And that's just not a good place to be. But when we're on our toes, kept on our toes, that's where we are, man, you know, kept on our toes or on our knees, I guess we could say, right? Just learning to look to the Word and trust God and take Him at His Word. So yeah, even on the boat that day, I was scared because we were with the engine failure, the anchor was down, and Gene's trying to get that engine going. 3 times that happened, but just trusting God in the midst of that, trusting Him for our safety, literal safety. But you know what, Tina, God always is at work in ways that we can't see at the time. And what happened later with that boat incident, we got in without having to be towed. And that spoke to our neighbors. Like all of a sudden, Gene became a superhero in the marina because he got us home. And that opened doors for deeper relationships because the men in the marina started calling my husband in to say, we've got this going on with our engine and we don't know what's going on. Could you come and take a look at it? Being invited onto somebody's boat, which is their home, in the boating culture like that, that's a big deal. And so it grew our relationships. We wouldn't have chosen for that to happen that way, but it all worked out for the best in the end.
Well, sometimes it takes that big of a bomb to go off for people to take notice. And that's so true. When we don't go through trials, we're not growing deep enough and close enough to the Lord because we don't think that we need Him when everything's going great. Grace, you have some phenomenal books on the topic of hope. You're all about moving away from fear, moving towards hope. We need that. Can you go through some of these great books that you have on your website, gracefox.com?
Sure. One of them is Moving from Fear to Freedom, A Woman's Guide to Peace in Every Situation. That one I did after a survey with about 400 women just to find out what they were struggling with. What were their fears? Because I knew what mine were, but I wanted to know what everybody else was struggling with. And so there's about 10 chapters and they each address a common fear that we struggle with. And guess what? The number one fear is the fear for our kids' well-being.
We have hard-hitting shows here with our team. We're going to be encouraged by listening to your message while digressing and talking through what's happening around our globe today. So thank you for that. It was awesome having you on the program today.